You might say comics writer Alan Moore has always had a difficult relationship with the industry in which he works, but it's not that difficult. He hates it. So despite being the most successful storyteller in the form, with touchstones such as Watchmen, V for Vendetta, and The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen in his resume, the Northampton anarchist won't allow his name to be used on the inevitable Hollywood adaptations of his comics. Moore's latest venture is an independent online platform for comics called Electric Comics, and I spoke to our regular tech correspondent, Aisling Kelleher, from her desk in Carnegie Mellon University, about a YouTube for comics.
Moore has a unique take on this, and I definitely would listen to what he has to say in it because of his reputation as probably one of the greatest comic writers of all time. So his critique is that, you know, in aiming for this much older market, that he feels mainstream comics have a distinct lack of creativity, and of course, almost younger kids, and he talks about boys, but girls as well, they wouldn't have an interest in doing this, in reading, you know, stories that are clearly catered towards, have concerns about, and deal with problems and aspects of life that have very little relevance to somebody who's 40 years earlier than that. So I think his premise or his thinking, and he's quite, you know, an iconoclast in many ways for tackling the comic industry in many, many different shapes and forms, whether it be, you know, he's tried out working in the mainstream comic world of DC Comics and working with the superhero genre and then moving radically away from that towards much more adult-oriented material, working by himself. And I think he's the kind of person who's very up to speed with what's going on in the world of technology as well. He uses Kickstarter to get some projects of his going. So, of course, when he makes a statement that, like, hey, the comic industry needs to wake up a little bit and think about the types of stories that we're generating, it's natural that he would begin to advocate a new form for that.
And what he's trying to have adopted is a kind of a digital platform for comics.
Yeah, he's come up with this very interesting idea that, I guess, it's called Electri Comics, and he calls it that because he feels it has a nice Victorian feel to it. That's spawned from the kernel of an idea he had about 3 years ago when he was working on a very intriguing kind of multimedia online experimental film called The Show, which was coming out in multiple different episodes. And in one kind of facet of that, he had this idea about kids in the background using transparent, flexible screens to read these types of comics, these flexible scrolls that he was calling spindles. And from that idea, which was, you know, tossed out in this idea as creating a creative world for this movie, you know, they began to think, well, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we make it? What about this idea of thinking about comics and not necessarily kind of souped up with audio and moving images, but the comic form, this two-dimensional just image? And what could that be like in the digital age?
He makes a comment which sounds like the way people talk about radio, that it's very tempting when you put things on the web to introduce animation, but that there's something intrinsic to the way comics are written and the way the art of comics has developed that doesn't need animation, that needs some way to represent graphics.
Yeah, and it's no surprise that Alan Moore would have this perspective. I mean, he's notorious in many ways for being completely against any kind of filmic representation of his work. So taking what he has created, and he doesn't do the illustrations, but in the stories that he's created and his close relationships with those who illustrate it, he feels that that story is best told in that particular medium. It's not that it's flat, it doesn't need to pop. It's like that's precisely how the story should be told. So he does not, I mean, any of his works, whether it be V for Vendetta or Watchmen or The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, I mean, he's come out pretty strongly against, I mean, he hasn't even seen the films, but nor does he want them to be put into that very over-the-top Hollywood format. So I think his call to transfer the comic to a digital app and to this idea of an open platform where people can kind of find an audience for their work without kind of falling for that idea of that, you know, we need to add more and more, and rather the idea that less is more. The comic shall just retain what it is as a comic. And they also using terminology that they'll be, you know, 32-page comics, where the idea of a page on an app is almost kind of a little bit odd.
As you say, Alan Moore is somebody who's always had a problem with the way the big comics companies, DC and Marvel, have turned their properties and his ideas into huge corporate entities. Is this a strategy to provide a kind of an online version of underground comics?
It depends on how he wants to go about it. I mean, there's some competition in this market in some ways. So, for example, there's a company called Bitstrips as well, and you might have seen them maybe last year or so invading your Facebook pages when people were posting their own little, like, you know, cutesy avatars of themselves in comic situations. I mean, the owners of that company, they were like, well, we want this to be like YouTube for comics. So it's not necessarily that they're looking at the highbrow market. They're not trying to do anything at the level of the quality that Moore and his colleagues can do. But it's more like, this is the kind of thing that it's very easy, it's quick, and you can kind of, it's fun and it's cutesy, and it's probably only really of interest to you and a couple of friends. But there is the potential for you to become a Bitstrip star. Or you see that Bitstrips then realize that people were using it in an educational context. And so teachers were using it because it was very attractive to students in classes to, you know, to do assignments in this comic style. So that could be one thing that they might want to think about, is like, what type of comics are going to be made in this toolkit? Or maybe they won't want to do that. They just let it be a free-for-all, or it's open, or kind of let, you know, the kind of the audience for that dictate what they see as what's valuable and what's interesting out there. But I think that sense of making it easy and attractive and straightforward, the same way, say, like the Scratch programming language, which was also has been designed for children, makes it really attractive to kids to learn how to program, because they can share what they've created online. Other people can look at it, they can like it, you know, that's a lot of social validation from that. But also they can appropriate it. They can like take what you've created and kind of in that GitHub way fork it or branch off it and create something new with it and appropriate it. So that could be something they might be interested in looking at. There are people who have really, really great stories. How that story might be represented, it'd be fabulous to see in a comic, that people whose illustrated styles or their styles of presentation are vastly different, and how they would tackle the same story. That could be pretty interesting, for example.
Aisling Kelleher there, and the latest from the Electric Comics Venture will be presented at this summer's International Graphic Novel and Comics Conference, which is part of the British Library's season Comics Unmasked, Art and Anarchy in the UK, which is in King's Cross, London until August 19th. bl.uk for more.